Thursday afternoon, January 2nd. Good afternoon. It's 24 degrees in Richland Center at 12:08. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Congress passed an extension of the Farm Bill, a relief for many farmers, but that means they're working with benefits and prices that were negotiated 6 years ago. On top of that, President-elect Donald Trump has promised to cut government costs across the board. Add potential tariffs to the equation, and experts are worried about the agriculture industry. Paul Mitchell is an agriculture and economics professor at UW-Madison.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
Mitchell says old prices aren't the only problem with extending the current farm bill. He says crop insurance and conservation programs are at risk. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says a tax cut will be on the Republican agenda in the next legislative session. Incoming 87th Assembly District Representative Brent Johnson says he's on board with the reduction in the state income tax as part of the new two-year budget, including cuts on retirement benefits and middle-class earners.
If you're married, filing jointly is like income between $33,000 and like $400,000. A lot of people fall in that range. And if you can give them a tax break, again, that's more money going back into the economy or saving for retirement.
Jacobson says tax breaks are appropriate at a time when prices have surged. He feels voters sent a message to the state Democratic Party in the last election, and Governor Tony Evers should listen. Last summer, Evers signed a budget that cuts income taxes by $175 million over the next 2 years, a fraction of what Republican lawmakers had proposed. Why nearly 200 ballots were uncounted on Election Day in Madison will be scrutinized. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has a special meeting scheduled for today. The six-member commission will consider an investigation of City of Madison Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell regarding 193 uncounted absentee ballots for the November 5th general election. Just over a week ago, the clerk's office said the uncounted ballots from two wards were discovered during post-election reconciliation and cleanup. The Elections Commission wasn't informed until December 18th, and the office of Madison Mayor Sacha Rhodes Conway only found out when the commission notified the city attorney. Regulation of AI could be on the agenda for state lawmakers. Senator Julian Bradley co-chaired a study committee, which held monthly hearings beginning in July. Bradley said they wanted to hear from the people that are utilizing this technology on a regular basis to make sure that their viewpoint and the viewpoint of those that is going to touch on a daily basis is heavily noted in anything that lawmakers take forward. The panel did not propose legislation, but does recommend a permanent committee on AI. Bradley said, in our interactions with AI technology will only increase. Governor Tony Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss also organized AI task forces last year. State Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux is ready to get to work in Madison. The Utesburg Republican said the most important thing that lawmakers do every session is a budget. Governor Tony Evers will introduce his budget at some point in February. Lemieux said leaders have been working with Evers on a date for a State of the State address and the budget address. The Republican leader tells WOMT Radio in Manitowoc that providing tax relief from the state's budget surplus of over $4 million remains a priority. The new legislative session begins next week. The Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles says they were plenty busy in 2024. Administrator Tommy Winkler says the DMV conducted nearly 2.3 million transactions, including over 922,000 vehicle registration and title transactions and more than 928,000 driver license and identification cards. The DMV opened two new centralized emissions testing facilities, one in Oak Creek and one in Brown Deer. The DMV also updated the motorist handbook and added three new specialty license plates in 2024. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is investing more than $7.5 million in 26 cooperative agreements that support innovative, scalable waste management plans to reduce and divert food waste from landfills and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The composting and food waste reduction cooperative agreements are part of USDA's broad support for urban agriculture. The CFWR program is jointly administered by USDA's Office of Urban Agriculture and Innovative Production and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture. The selected projects will be implemented between now and 2027. USDA prioritized projects that anticipate or demonstrate economic benefits, incorporate plans to make compost easily accessible to farmers, including community gardeners, integrate other food waste strategies, including food recovery efforts, and collaborate with multiple partners. Recipients include projects in 15 states and one territory, including two states that will be first-time participants in the program. The Sun Prairie Food Residential Event and School Compost Undertaking Pilot Project, selected in Wisconsin, will integrate full-service composting into six major citywide events in Sun Prairie. These events include implementing lunchtime composting programs, shared tables, a food waste reduction competition, and food waste-focused curriculum into select schools in the Sun Prairie Area School District, pilot an 18-month curbside composting service for residents, and distribute compost to community gardens and urban farms while engaging these producers in a workshop centered around sustainable agriculture practices. The food rescue pilot is expected to reach 12,000 people, divert 65,000 pounds of food waste from the landfill, produce 43,000 pounds of compost, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 27 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalents. Authorities in New Lisbon continue to search for a man they believe was involved in the death of two juveniles and a woman on December 30th. According to the New Lisbon Police Department, a juvenile was reported missing from Monroe County on December 30th around 7:40 a.m. Police began to search for the missing person when they discovered a second juvenile was also missing from New Lisbon. Around 4:30 p.m., police say they found both juveniles and an adult woman dead inside a home on the 300 block of West Bridge Street in New Lisbon. Authorities are currently looking for a person of interest believed to be involved in the deaths. He is described as 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighing 150 pounds. Anyone with information is encouraged to call 911. Officials say they have activated their crisis response team and are communicating with school districts to provide counseling resources as needed. The two victims of the Abundant Life school shooting who were in critical condition have now been upgraded to fair condition. In a statement released by UW Health, their families, they were grateful for the respect of their privacy and thanked American Family Children's Hospital. 4 others were shot. They were all released from the hospital the week of the shooting. A reminder that the Abundant Life Christian School Recovery Fund is still active. You can find a link on the United Way of Dane County's website. A man is in custody and is accused of attempted homicide after a shooting earlier this week. In a release, Tomah police said that a 46-year-old man was arrested in Sauk County Tuesday. At 1:15 Tuesday morning, police found an 80-year-old man with multiple gunshot wounds. The man was taken to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. Police then found the alleged shooter's children safe in Juneau County. At about 7 o'clock Tuesday, the 46-year-old man was arrested. He is being recommended for multiple charges, including attempted homicide. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a domestic disturbance early New Year's Day. A call came in around 12:45 reporting the disturbance on County Road HH and County Road H in the township of Arena. Iowa County Sheriff's Deputy responded to the scene and arrested Nicholas J. Hansen, 38, of Barneveld, on charges of battery, disorderly conduct, and resisting or obstructing an officer. Hansen was transported to the Iowa County Jail, where he was later released on bond. Communities across Wisconsin are hanging a lot of road salt. Plover Village Administrator Steve Kuhn says between carryover from last year and ordering for this year, they've had to get creative.
You have to buy salt so far in advance, and we didn't really need any salt, but you can't, if you don't get it, you don't get it. We actually had to finagle a little bit, work with the county a little bit to have them take some of our salt because we didn't have any place to put it because our shed's full, which is great. It's a good position to be in.
Although salt keeps Wisconsin roads safe during the winter, using more salt than needed comes at a price. In Wisconsin and much of the U.S., chlorides from salt are infiltrating lakes, streams, and groundwater. A reminder to slow down when driving in the winter. The Wisconsin State Patrol tells WXPR in Rhinelander that drivers need to keep in mind that posted speed limits are for the best conditions possible on the roads. Captain Bradley O'Kane says any snow, ice, or slush on roads will make driving at highway speeds hazardous. You should also give more space between cars on the road since it is harder to stop. Drivers who slide into the ditch are advised to stay in their vehicle and call 911. That's safer than getting out to inspect the damage and risk getting hit by another vehicle. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
Welcome to the new year and year number 4 of History Moments. To everyone, a happy new year for 2025. Today, covering James Appleby, the first Richland County surveyor. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to genealogytrails.com, James Appleby, pioneer settler of the town of Eagle, was born in County of Durham, England. He, in company with his parents, emigrated from Yorkshire, England, to America, coming directly to the territory of Wisconsin and locating in the part of what was Iowa County at the time, what is now known today as Lafayette County. His father made a claim on a tract of mineral land at that time, and they were held in reserve by the government. He was married in 1846 to Susanna C. Palmer and engaged as a clerk in a general store, remaining there until the spring of 1849. It was then when he came to Richland County and settled in what is now the town of Eagle. He made his home in that town until 1863, when he removed to what was Richwood, purchasing land on sections 4 and 5. He erected a good frame house on section 4 and still makes that his home. Mr. Appleby has been county surveyor for the county of Richland 17 years now. His first official survey was made in 1850, and it was for the town of Richmond. It was for a good road and commenced then with what was called Commerce Street and what was then called the village of Mahangahela and extended north past Rudolph's Mill. He has been superintendent of schools for 1 year in the town of Eagle and is the assessor for the town of Richwood for 2 years now. Mr. Appleby is a member of the Church of the United Brethren in Christ, belonging thereto for about 26 years. And has filled many important places in his church, being granted the license by his quarterly conference to preach, and he is an ordained elder of that said church. He has filled the office of secretary of the Wisconsin Annual Conference as well. Notwithstanding his many arduous duties and labors, you can always find him, and he has time to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. It would almost seem unnecessary to add that Mr. Appleby is a strong temperance man, upon which he can truly say, "I nurse my mouth to keep it warm." Mr. and Mrs. Appleby have 9 children. Mr. Appleby is well known in all parts of the county and enjoys to the fullest extent the respect and confidence of the people of Richland County. Listen next week for the history of Richland County covering Bear Creek Valley in Richland County, Wisconsin.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. The Society looks forward to the new year with a vision to document important events and remind the community of important events of the past that impact all of us today. The summer will bring another season of open houses at the Yankee School Museum, and members enjoy the excellent reminiscing in the Historical Society's Yankee Breaking Newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history. The sponsorship of programs devoted to local history and the maintenance of and public access to the Aiky School Museum. Please consider joining. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. You can email your membership to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. And you can learn more at Richland County Historical Society.weebly.com.
Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County will be hosting a community program, Discover Your Strength, Build a Stronger Community, Monday, starting at 5:30. The program is beneficial to parents and caregivers of children, featuring a guest speaker. Betsy Reisler is the Drug-Free Communities Project Director for Partners for Prevention of Richland County.
This particular program is aimed at helping parents and other caregivers identify strengths in their children and in themselves. She has a tool that she will allow each participant to get a hold of, and they'll discover their strengths within the context of this community dinner. So that will be held on January 6th. It's a Monday night at the Richland School District in the West Commons. We'll have seating for the dinner outside the auditorium, and then the speaker will be in the auditorium.
Mary Guggisberg gives an insight on what to expect when she speaks at the event.
First, let me tell you the name of the event. It's a community that cares. Use your strengths, create a community of belonging. And it's the opportunity to use a tool called Values in Action, short to VIA. And it's a framework that really celebrates individual strengths. And how do we live those strengths? How do those strengths show up in what we do every day? And then for parents and caregivers and all of us working with young people, how do we see those strengths and really celebrate the strengths? A lot of folks, we go to the negative, like we catch our kids doing wrong. And what I call out is catch your kids doing right. And we do that by celebrating who they are at their inside, at their core.
Betsy Reisler encourages everyone to attend, even if you don't have children. Registration to attend is required today.
There's a QR code in the posters you see on social media. It'll also be in the paper, but you can also call to register. No problem. You don't need to use that fancy QR code. My number is area code 608-647-6131, extension 1516. If you don't get me, please leave a message and let me know who's coming. It's completely free. We have several really nice grants, state, local, and federal grants that we are using to put on this event for the community. Our goal is to have 100 people at the dinner. So if you can register quickly, that would be wonderful. We intend to have 4 different raffle opportunities, incentives for getting you there. So register quickly, get your name in and let us know you're coming, and then be present that night when we do the raffle.
Discover Your Strength, Build a Stronger Community, hosted by Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County, will be held at the Richlandster High School West Commons Monday at 5:30. Be sure to register today by calling 608-647-6151, extension 1516, or you can visit the WRCO Facebook page for a link to register. The American Red Cross is asking donors to give the gift of life. Donors with type O negative blood and those giving platelets are especially urged to give now so patients can continue to receive the care they count on. Seasonal illness and the threat of winter weather can lead to lower appointment numbers and decreased donor turnout, making it tougher to keep the blood supply stable. A blood drive will be held today from 1 to 6 at St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Cross Plains. 2 blood drives will be held tomorrow. The first will be from 11:30 to 5:30 at Christ Lutheran Church in Spring Green. The second will be from 12:30 to 5:30 at the Arena Fire and EMS Station. Schedule an appointment by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org, or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. One Wisconsin city brought in the new year in a uniquely Wisconsin way. A Limburger cheese box made by Monroe High School students was dropped, but with a catch. The drop did not actually take place at midnight Wisconsin time, but instead at 5 p.m., which was midnight in Switzerland, celebrating a Swiss cheesy New Year. The celebration had a variety of events like yodelers, flame twirlers, and a brown Swiss cow named Princess Margaret. Over 100 pounds of cheese was given away at the event. The winners in the Crime Stoppers calendar raffle for New Year's Day of $50 was Sally Maxwell of Richland Center on ticket number 112. Today's winner of $25 is Rhonda Marish of Richland Center on ticket number 176.